needs a lock of hair in her pocket. She wears a cross around her neck. Yes, the hair is from a little boy, and the cross is someone she has not met.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by D.A. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KZFR and Community Radio in Northern California. For more information, visit dalampeconstruction.com. And by Emporium Presents and the Cascade Theater in Reading, presenting World Guitar Master Jesse Cook on January 24th. This award-winning guitarist incorporates elements of Spanish, rumba, flamenco, jazz, and world music into his unique style. For information and tickets for Jesse Cook's one-night-only performance at Cascade Theater in Reading, call 243-8877 or visit cascadetheater.org. That's theater, T-H-E-A-T-R-E. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or streaming online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Today we're going to bring you some news about current and ancient food trends and let you know about a great vegan pledge program to join in January. We'll end with some good news for wolves in Norway and the Chico Vegan Calendar. Let's get things started, Jeannie.
All right. Thanks, Danny. A recent report from the trade magazine National Restaurant News projected the composition of the human diet in 50 years and found that it will be much more plant-based. Analysts for National Restaurant News use current food trends to inform their predictions and listed improvements in medical science and technology as factors that will affect what humans eat. But, quote, as the world grows more crowded, we'll be eating fewer animals and more plants, end quote, said NRN food editor Brett Thorne. While Thorne went on to list insects as a potential diet trend.
Yum.
Never going to happen. never. His prediction of plant-based eating as a growing trend is supported by other recent food trend reports, and we've actually mentioned some of them on the show before. In August, Grandview Research predicted that the dairy-free milk market is expected to reach $35 billion, that's billion with a B, by 2024. And additionally, research firms such as Technovio and Mintel released their year-end reports, which also predicted that various segments of the vegan industry, which includes egg replacer, plant-based meats, packaged foods, and restaurant options, will all substantially grow in the coming years as consumers continue to demand healthier, more ethical, and environmentally friendly options.
Great. This kind of reminds me, you know, there's often a debate about, well, I'm not going to buy that soy milk anymore because it got bought by that giant company, which also, you know, produces milk. And, you know, that story is repeated for almost every vegan product except for the small niche products, and they have remained for 20 or 30 years as small niche products. ultimately, I think capitalism, which is sadly our state, will, you know, drive most of these companies to vegan products because they're cheaper and there's sort of a coexistence that has to go on. And, you know, from your and I point of view, right, I mean, it's less animal suffering without getting into the dogma of who's profiting.
Just in the last year, we can point to something like Ben & Jerry's, which in itself is sort of a niche market, right? I mean, that's $6 a pint, $5 to $6 for a pint of ice cream. But they expanded to have a really nice line of vegan ice creams.
They expanded my waistline.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's also been many fads and movements over the years to promote veganism. So many of you have probably heard of Meatless Monday, Raw Till 4, or Vegan Before 6. The most popular of these programs has probably been Meatless Monday because Oprah Winfrey did a show about it where her entire staff tried veganism. I'm a fan of anything that saves the lives of animals, and so is Jeannie, and makes people think more about what they are eating. There's another great vegan transition program starting up that I would encourage our listeners to actually sign up for. Veganuary, which is pronounced Veganuary, just as vegan is pronounced vegan for everyone who sometimes loves to call us vegans.
Yeah, so we can be persnickety, right? It's not vegan. Not vegan. It's vegan.
Definitely. I mean, if we were vegans, we would be from Las Vegas or the planet Vega. So Veganuary is a concept started by the husband and wife duo, Jane Land and Matthew Glover. What started for them as a brainstorming idea in 2013 has grown every year. I hear about it all over the place now. And is now sponsored by three animal advocacy groups, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing, and the Humane League. When you sign up on the Veganuary website at www.veganuary.com, you pledge to go vegan for an entire month as opposed to a single week or a single day like Meatless Monday or a couple of hours here and there kind of thing. I think it's rather like going to the gym or starting up any new tactic. You do need to ease in, but it can't just be I'll work out sometime in the next 3 months once.
Yeah, like if you're training for a marathon and you only run once a week, you're never going to make it.
And it's hard.
And it's hard every single time.
Right.
Whereas if you can commit, it's hard, or you have a lot to learn in the first couple weeks.
Right.
A lot of taste to get used to. But if you can hold out and not go back to your old ways, you have a pretty good chance at continuing.
Yeah, you got to get to the delicious hump. I think everybody's first homemade vegan meals are not good. And just like if you think about it, the first thing you ever cook is not good, no matter what the format of it. So
I don't know. I still like toast.
Well, I've had bad toast. So if you sign up for this program, you will receive daily email tips and recipes. And if you like, you can join their online support groups and get other support on how to stay vegan, which I think is a nice component of this Veganuary approach, that you're going to kind of follow that daily reinforcement system like many other programs have done. And obviously here in Chico, we have a great local group, the Chico Vegan Meetup, which provides both virtual and real-life community and support. Unlike the health-based programs like Forks Over Knives that are based primarily on health arguments, Veganuary sends out bite-sized information on all aspects of veganism. We had a little extra background music there. So Veganuary sends out health, environmental, and especially the ethical aspect of veganism. Listeners can, again, go to Veganuary.com or to the Veganuary Facebook page, because even though everyone hates Facebook, we know you're all on it, for more info.
Yeah. And, you know, this was one thing that I, which is one thing that made me select Veganuary as opposed to other programs to kind of
highlight. I'm glad they didn't try to do it in February, because
it's too short, right?
February.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah, it's a cute name. But no, I do like that they have these little bite-sized memes or posts about the ethical aspects of veganism, right? I think that is important to always keep in mind, because there can be variable feedback on the health aspects of veganism, the environmental aspects of veganism. While quantifiable, they're they're so easy to become contentious and argumentative, right?
None of you are going to live past 110. I'm sorry.
No matter what you eat.
No matter what you eat or don't eat.
And so, yeah. And so I think that if you can remember or think, if one of your motivations for going vegan is to not partake of the suffering of animals in our food system, then it helps to have these little reminders.
Especially like small, dare I say, easily digestible reminders, I think works better for many people versus go watch this 30-minute horrific video about cruelty, you know, where you can't get into it, but kind of daily factoids or information or motivation.
Yeah, and also, you know,
works
just,
very well.
I'll just say, because we live in Butte County, a lot of people live in the city and they get great internet, great bandwidth for not very much money. But if you live anywhere outside of the Comcast area or outside of like good cell phone reception, streaming one of these 30-minute videos online is very problematic. So having this email-based system and just smaller, as you say, more digestible bits of information are more accessible and suiting to our county.
Yeah.
Right? I'm all about the local.
Yeah, definitely.
All
right, so that is www.veganuary.com.
It's January without the Jan.
I didn't prepare a Brady Bunch joke.
Okay. All right. Well, now we're both dating ourselves. Anyway, so going on, I have some good news to end the year with. In Norway, the Norwegian Minister for Climate and Environment announced on Tuesday, just of this week, that the government has denied hunting permits to cull 4 wolf packs in Norway.
Yay.
The minister stated that there is no legal basis for the hunt, either in the National Environmental Protection Law nor in the Bern Convention on the Conservation of European Wildlife. So there's nothing at the Norway level, nor is there nothing on the greater European consensus level.
I mean, this is something I'm sure that has been going on for a while, and when you know, their government comes out and says, quantitatively, there is no legal basis for this.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not pulling their punches there.
Yeah. The minister also acknowledged that the a legal and public appeal from the Norwegian branch of the environmental activist group Friends of the Earth really helped to stop the hunt.
And so, you know, I mean, activism often does work. You just have to keep at it.
Yep. The Predator Management Authority's decision to cull the 4 wolf packs, as well as 15 wolves outside the wolf area, was met with strong reactions inside and outside Norway. More than 70,000 people signed a petition against the cull, and almost 7,000 Norwegian citizens and a large number of international activists contacted the Norwegian Minister for Climate and Environment via the Friends of Earth Norway's website. The leader of the Norwegian branch of Friends of Earth, Silje Aske Lundberg, was quoted as saying, "This is a very important victory for the most endangered mammal in the Norwegian fauna. 3 of the 4 wolf packs live in Norway's designated wolf area, so they have a wolf area, and none of these animals posed any threat to grazing livestock. Even so, the regional predator management authorities decided earlier this fall to allow hunting of the wolves based on requests from farmers, especially sheep farmers in the area."
Haven't we often talked about local wildlife management and how, you know, game wardens grew up with the guy down the street and, you know, essentially, you know, sort of bypassing the law in some sense and just helping out their buddies who just want to hunt.
So it turns out in Norway, farmers release about 2 million sheep onto open grazing lands. And of those 2 million, about 6% go missing each year because of natural accidents, such as being hit by cars or trains. I guess that's not really a natural accident.
Yeah.
And some predation by large mammals, such as wolves. Estimates for the numbers lost to wolf predation vary from 380 animals to 1,800 animals per year. So out of 2 million.
Out of what, four wolf packs? Or maybe that's just within that area. Okay,
yeah.
This will be the total country. But that number, obviously, is very sketchy if it's so imprecise.
Experts say that the Norwegian predator management policy itself may result in inaccurate predation numbers because along with many other European countries, Norway specifically compensates farmers for livestock losses due to wolves, which creates an impetus for inflated numbers. Depends on how the inspection is going, like how they verify that, right?
But
we have similar programs here. It's basically like padding your insurance claim if you think you won't get caught.
Right. It's like, you know, is it an act of God or not with, you know, your fence blowing over or whatever. If you figure out your new fence is $50,000, you're going to try to tell your insurance company one thing.
A conservation biologist was quoted in the online environmental magazine EcoWatch saying, quote, "It does appear that Norwegian farmers have a vendetta against wolves that is not rooted in fact, but rather fear and hate. If anything, the culling program could serve to reinforce these fears by making the farmers feel justified in their fears."
It's almost fake news perpetuating itself, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's wolves killing our sheep, and look, now they're giving money to kill the wolves. It must be because they're all killing our sheep.
The biologist noticed that Norway maintains its national wolf population at around 20 animals, calling this an artificially low number.
I don't understand that number, but
20?
How do they have multiple packs, but then they're saying there's only 20 animals in all?
Yeah, maybe they're only letting, four packs being called out of six packs?
I don't know. If 20 wolves are killing 1,800 sheep a year, something is off.
So Lundberg, the head of the Friends of Earth Norway, was also quoted as saying, quote, "The Norwegian decision is hugely important as it states that wolves who don't catch domesticated animals cannot be hunted down freely. This shows that the Predator Management Authority's efforts to shoot as many wolves as possible is inconsistent with current law. They have not responded according to the law." And the point here is that the law says that only known livestock predators can be killed, despite ranchers or the sheep farmers' fears of of the all wolves.
Right.
Really, they can only go after the ones that are known killers. So, congratulations to the wolves and to activists for at least achieving this rollback on this cull. And hopefully they can keep going.
I'm proud of my distant ancestors in Norway.
Are you of Norwegian descent?
Look at my okay. Look at my skin. Come
okay.
on.
And your height.
Yes.
Okay. So, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio with hosts Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico. And now we have the calendar of events. So if you're looking to reset your diet or to be more health-minded and whole foods plant-based, check out the weekly meetings of the Stay Healthy Meetup Group. The group meets will be meeting on Sundays from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the New Earth Market, including this Sunday. And attendees will share ideas and recipes and information about salt, oil, and sugar-free whole foods, plant-based eating, which I assure you can be delicious. So for more info, message Siobhan at the Stay Healthy Chico Meetup Group. This event is free, and all are welcome to attend.
Neat.
And then coming up on Thursday, January 26th, towards the end of the month, we have the Plant Pure Pod of Chico having their first meeting.
These aren't pod people, right?
No. More, I think more like pea pod or something.
There we go.
A nice thing, okay? Legume pod. The Chico Plant Pure Pod will be screening the movie Plant Pure Nation at the Chico Grange on Thursday, January 26th at 6 p.m. The group will be following the Plant Pure Nation's Whole Foods plant-based curriculum. So you want to go every month because it's sort of a sequential learning experience.
Oh, that's cool.
And a local activist named Nancy Matthews will be hosting those. If you are facing health challenges like type 2 diabetes or are struggling with your weight, this group can help you eat more healthfully. The events are free and there will be snacks.
I mean, you know, the health arguments vary, but they are all consistently point to less heart disease, less diabetes, better health, you know. Quantitatively, not you know, if nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Qualitatively, got it wrong.
So again, that's Thursday, January 26th, Plant Pure Pod Chico at the Chico Grange at 2775 Nord Avenue in Chico from 6 to 9 p.m. And then on January 28th, we have the Chico Vegan Potluck from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Chico Library Community Room. And that potluck will be at, everyone is welcome. And I guarantee that everyone can try and enjoy being vegan for 2 hours. It might be nice if you go to the Plant Pure Pod meetup to make something and share that with our attendees. You can make something from scratch, or you can go to Trader Joe's or New Earth Market and find something vegan there to buy and share. So potluck details can be found at chicovegan.com.
That's so many vegan events in a row. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'll be putting up a calendar of all the potlucks for mm-hmm. the year so that people can start to set those aside. We will be coordinating with the Plant Pure Pod people for screenings and see what kind of synergy we can get. Hopefully there's a lot of people who have, you know, are looking. Maybe they're not looking to go full on vegan, but they definitely want to look at eating more plant based, and right. these are resources to help with that. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's been a long year. I think it's been a good year for the show. I've certainly enjoyed getting pulled into it.
Pulled in. It's been a pleasure.
invited in.
I do like hearing your opinions and your little snarky comments about different...
Hey now, our listener, Travis, said that I'm not that snarky on the radio.
Oh, good. Well, Travis is maybe biased, though, because he does know you personally. I'm gonna include one extra story here, which was about some archaeological news.
Cool.
And that is some... researchers at archaeological excavations at a Stone Age site in Israel have revealed that the first direct evidence of the sorts of plants that our distant human ancestors ate, their tastes were more adventurous than we might expect, with roasted acorns and sedges both on the menu. So the idea is that, you know, maybe our modern-day paleo cookbooks are missing a few pages and a few ingredients.
Maybe they chose things they just wanted to eat.
Archaeologists tend to emphasize the role of meat in ancient human diets largely because the butchered bones of wild animals are really likely and easily preserved at dig sites. And edible plants are all, you know, can be overlooked because their remains don't survive so well.
Right.
Right? They get composted. So two researchers, Yoel Melamed and Nama Goran-Invar at Bar-Ilan University in Israel, found the remains of an extraordinary range of plants at an ancient Stone Age site in Israel that was occupied some 780,000 years ago, probably by Homo erectus, or a very closely related species. And so it turns out that they collected no fewer than 55 different kinds of plants,
wow.
harvesting their nuts, fruits, seeds, and underground stems, or eating them as whole vegetables. One of the researchers is quoted as saying, "The modern human diet is clearly restricted when compared to the early hominid diet, or even to the early farmers' diets."
Right.
Which is true. You can go into a supermarket and you can see a lot of vegetables and fruits being sold there. But if you count them all up, it's probably not 55 different, you know,
ones that stack well and ship well and can be shipped green and ripened on the shelf.
Yeah.
I mean. You know, they're hunter-gatherers, and let's not forget the gathering part. You know, that's what you do. You're walking around grabbing everything you can to eat.
I read an article once about chimpanzees. It was anthropological study of chimpanzees, and the gist of it was that chimpanzees are modern botanists, that
neat.
They became very familiar with different types of plants, which were edible and which were not, and which tasted good. And it just struck me, right, because they're so similar to us.
Yeah, another reason not to visit zoos or experiment upon primates.
Yet another reason, if you needed one.
Right.
Early humans took advantage of edible plants that grew nearby lakes, including seeds of a type of water lily, as well as the rhizomes of a rush that grows in the water. And thistles, they surmise, may have been a treat in late spring or early summer because their seeds are a good source of oils. And later in the year, acorns would come into season, and roasted acorns are a great source of starch. Actually, I think here in Chico, there was an acorn processing workshop a few weeks ago.
It's definitely neat.
Yeah.
You definitely need to process them, though.
yes, they're full of tannins, but they are edible, and calories are probably the limiting factor of ancient diets, right?
Right.
So, anyway, and not every ancient staple food was unfamiliar. They also found water chestnuts were popular, and they were popular then, and they're popular now. And olives, too, were a core ingredient of Mediterranean diets, of diets then, and of the Mediterranean diet now. So,
everybody likes olives.
Can't go wrong. So, we have one last bit of business to take care of. Go for it, Danny.
We do. Yes, we do. So, sadly, in lieu of the animal rights thought of the week, we thought it important to mention the passing of legendary actress and mental health advocate Carrie Fisher. It is reported that she drowned in moonlight, strangled by her own bra. At least that's how she wanted it reported.
Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you.
You've been listening to Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist Rockers Rise Against.
If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen again, please visit the archives at kzfr.org and search for Non-Human Radio. This is Jeannie Trezino and Danny Tom signing off.
Until next year, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan.
Every action is a reaction. We've got one planet and one chance.
And this is FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.